Jeremiah 23, if you want to turn your Bibles, as we've seen in the midst of a lot of rebuke and warnings from the Lord about Israel's behavior and God's eventual chastisement of sending them into captivity, we've seen some beautiful nuggets. And last week we saw this introduction of Jesus Christ as the future King with the name the Lord our righteousness, that Jesus Christ is Jehovah. And then tonight, God reminds us about the power of His Word. Here in Jeremiah chapter 23, starting in verse 9, the Bible says, "Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of His holiness." And then if you jump down to 17, "They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and hath heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, till he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I've dreamed, I've dreamed. How long shall this be, the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, there are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" So the words of His holiness, let's pray. Lord, use Your word in our hearts this evening. Thank You for the privilege to open Your word on a Sunday evening and to hear from it and to allow the Holy Spirit to use it to teach and grow us, Lord. I pray that You would be glorified, You would give Your wisdom, and You would give us Your presence in this service. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we find some beautiful truths in this passage about the Word of God. The first one there in verse 9 is God refers to His Word as the words of His holiness. And that's the title of the message tonight. We must never forget that this book is holy. So it's not a mistake that they put Holy Bible on the front, because it comes from a holy God. And the Bible says only God is holy. And Jesus Christ is synonymous with the Word. As we know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and Jesus is holy. So to refer to this as the Holy Bible is very accurate, because it is the words of His holiness. If you go to Romans chapter 7, the Bible again explains that even the Old Testament law is holy, because it is the Word of God. Notice Romans chapter 7 and verse 12. The Bible says, "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good." So we must remember that this is God's holy word, because God is holy. And this book is extremely important to the Lord. And oftentimes we can lose sight of that. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 138:2, that thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Think about what that's saying. That the Bible is so important to the Lord that He's even magnified it above His own name. Why is that? Again, because Jesus Christ is synonymous with the Word of God. This is the most important book in the universe. And we can't overestimate its importance. But the first thing that we see in this passage is that God's word are the words of His holiness. That a holy God, remember Isaiah was given a glimpse there in chapter 6 where the Bible says, "Holy, holy, holy," has given us His word, and that makes this word holy. Now the second thing we see in this passage is that it is very precious to the Lord, and the fact that God has decided what to give us, and then God decided when to stop, that His Word is very precious, and it's sealed unto us as Christians, as New Testament believers. And even in the Old Testament, you had people claiming to be prophets who were not. We still have that today. We have people claiming to be New Testament prophets, and they are not. And what they did, if you look down in verse 36 of our passage, which we didn't go that far, but what they do is they pervert the word of the Lord. Notice Jeremiah 23 down in verse 36. And the burden of the Lord shall you mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden, for you have perverted the words of the living God. He's talking to these prophets. The main point of this section of Jeremiah 23 is God rebuking these false prophets. And what have they done? They have perverted the word by saying things that they claim are from God when they are not. And that angers God. And most of this is God saying that He's going to actually specifically punish the prophets for what they've done in claiming that what they're saying is from God. For example, 17, that they've claimed that the Lord said, "You shall have peace," when the opposite is actually what's coming, and that is captivity. But they're saying to the people what they want to hear. Don't worry. You're going to have peace. Everything's going to be great. When actually, they're going to go into captivity. And Jerusalem's going to be razed to the ground. And so they're coming along and saying what the people want to hear, like we talked about this morning, rather than speaking the words of the Lord. Go to Isaiah chapter 30. I think we looked at this last week, but they're essentially fulfilling what the people wanted. Notice Isaiah chapter 30, verse 10, and you'll notice this is exactly what people are doing today. Isaiah 30, verse 10 says, "Which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits." Things haven't changed in 2,500 years, have they? People still go to church and say, "Tell us smooth. Tell us what we want to hear. Tell us what sounds good. Tell us what makes us feel good," rather than the truth. And I heard somebody say once, a preacher is someone who gives people what they need rather than what they want. It's true. We don't want to be rebuked by the word. We don't want to be skinned alive sometimes by God's word, but we need it. And these prophets were giving the people what they wanted. Sadly, that's not what they needed. But look at the passage we looked at this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 4. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they shall heed to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and shall be turned away from the truth and turned unto fables. So man has always been this way, where he would rather hear smooth and happy things rather than the truth. And God, so He's not only explaining to them, and go to Revelation 22 while we're turning, that not only are His words holy, but they are very, very precious to the Lord, and it angers Him when people claim to be speaking for God when they are not. It angers God. So much so that we have this passage in Revelation that looks like the exception to the eternal security doctrine. How else can you take it? Look at verse 18. "I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of the book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life." Wow. My answer to this passage is always, I would not want to be a Bible translator. I wouldn't want to be one of those Greek experts or Hebrew experts who is asked to translate the latest version. There's over 150 English versions now, by the way. We're pushing 200 of them, as if God has to change His mind 200 times. I wouldn't want to be on those translation committees and be saying, "Oh, that doesn't need to be there. Oh, let's change that. Oh, let's make that more palatable to the people." They have to answer to God for that. And so just like it angered God then, it angers God now. Paul said, when these people came into the church at Galatia and they were preaching false doctrine, he says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we've preached unto you, let him be accursed. Paul said that. And then we have people coming along 200 years ago, 150 years ago, saying, I've got a new gospel. So we see, first of all, that God's words are holy. And not much in this universe is. Second of all, that God's words are very precious. In other words, they are sealed, and God gave us exactly what he wanted us to have. There's that passage in John chapter 20 that tells us if God would have written down everything that Jesus did and said, the world itself could not contain the books, which means God gave us exactly how much he wanted us to have. He could have given us a book that was 10 times this size or 1/10 this size, but he chose to give us this book. And we need to look at it like God does. This is a precious, holy book. And we should treat it as such, that it is very important to the Lord and should be very important to us. Because if you go to chapter 23, verse 24, the Bible makes it clear, well, 23 and 24, that this book is coming from an omnipotent, omnipresent God. Notice in verse 23, it says, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Imagine having to answer to God someday, who's everywhere and all powerful and holy, for lying about the word of the Lord. I can't even imagine having to stand before God for that. This book came from Almighty God, the God that fills heaven and earth, the God that is everywhere and knows everything and is all-powerful. This book came from him. Go to Hebrews 4, if you would. Very well-known verse, verse 12, but do you know verse 13? So most of us know verse 12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Look at verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Why are those two verses next to each other? Because the God who wrote this book is the God who sees everything. And this book has the power to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. Can you think of anything else on this earth that has that kind of power? I can't. That can actually know people's thoughts and know their heart motives. We just can't know those things, can we? We can guess, but we don't know. This book has that kind of power. Because it comes from a God who is everywhere and sees everything and has given us this amazing book. And then verse 29, our last point about his word tonight, and one of the most beautiful points, and that is that God's word is not only holy and completed and comes from an omnipotent God, but God's word is powerful. Verse 29, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. So God, remember, he's speaking to these prophets who are lying about God's word. They're saying things that God didn't say and claiming that God said them. And God's response is to say, wait a minute, my word is powerful. And my word has the power to change lives. That's not what you're giving. You're giving man's words, which don't have power. My word is like a fire. Well, what does a fire do? It burns, it consumes things. God's word has the power to burn, it has the power to consume. We all know, we've experienced that kind of power, haven't we? There were times when the word of God just burnt in us. Jeremiah had said a few chapters ago, it was like a fire in my belly. But he also says it's like a hammer, which can either be used to break up rocks or pound in nails, but there's a lot of power in a hammer. Of course, it has to be wielded by someone. And that's a whole different story. But what God is teaching us is that His Word, which is complete and holy, is powerful. And we need to understand that this is where the power is. In our lives, in speaking to others about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, people often ask me, well, I've got this friend at work and they claim to be an agnostic, but they let me talk to them about the Lord. You know what I always say? Give them as much Bible as you can. Because if you can get them to hear some scriptures, there's power in that. Because this book is powerful. It's like a hammer. It's like a fire. We just read in Hebrews 4 where it's like a sword. A two-edged sword that can pierce to the dividing of soul and sunder, soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, and can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. Most of us know Psalm 119, 105, but let's turn there. This book not only has the power to break and to consume and to pierce, but it also has the power to give us direction. And if you haven't memorized this one, it's probably a good place to start. Psalm 119, 105. Which says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We all need direction. We all need illumination of the path in front of us so we know where to go. You're holding it in your hands. This book has the power to light our way. That's a lot of power. This book has the power to help us fight the devil. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. How did Jesus resist the devil in the desert when he was tempted 3 times? He said, 3 times it is written. That's all he did. He quoted this amazingly powerful book and the devil fled, the Bible says. The devil left him. There is power in this book and we can't overemphasize it. God even refers to it as the words of his holiness. He doesn't refer to anything else with that kind of, I don't know what word, reverence, if you will. The words of his holiness, the words that he has sent to us to teach and guide us. And then go to James chapter 1, if you would. And so God is emphasizing as he's rebuking these prophets something that can help all of us, and that's to be reminded about the amazing power of this book, the words of his holiness. Notice James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, look at this last phrase, which is able to save your souls. I call that powerful. The book that you hold in your hands has the power to save souls. That's because the gospel is contained in there. And the gospel is what saves. And people hear it, they believe, they're born again. Able to save your souls. That's a lot of power. To be able to rescue someone from hell and change their destination to heaven. And so in the course of rebuking the prophets, God also is reminding us that we hold in our hands a book that is holy, a book that is finished, and a book that is powerful. And if it's that powerful, we need to be making it a major part of our lives like we talked this morning. So the next time you look at the front of it, if yours isn't in a cover, that word holy, think about what that's saying. This book can't be holy unless it comes from the only one who is holy. Revelation 15:4, Thou only art holy, talking of Almighty God. The only way this book can be holy is if it is connected to Him, the one who is the only Holy One. Another name of Jesus, by the way, the Holy One. This is the Holy Bible. So let's treat it with amazing awe and respect. And I'm not just talking about the pages, but I mean the Word. Because we had people 2,500 years ago perverting it, and we have people 2,500 years later, perverting it. We must make it part of our lives, understand its power, not only to help us live for Christ, but also to help others find Christ, and to treat it such by studying it, meditating in it, memorizing it, reading it. This is the word of His holiness. Praise God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your